from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
All right, welcome in. Daryl Ryder in for Kenny. A very slow news weekend. Indeed, I'm Anthony Lima. We're happy to have you. We've got Mitch. We've got Kayla. Kenny, who knows? Maybe he's doing his own political podcast this week. I'm not sure. Tending to other matters. We'll give Ken a little breather here before the grind that is the football season begins. Daryl, great to have you. It seems like a great week to have you, considering what some things start percolating in Berea.
What, anything happened in the last 2 weeks while I was on vacation?
2 weeks? I would wager to say the last 3.5 weeks have felt like,
three and a half years.
5 years. You got enough for you? Well, we'll get to all that. Well, I guess I'd ask you the first question. So much went on, actually, sports-wise. It was like a crazy, crazy sports weekend where, you know, even in the middle of this football abyss that we find ourselves in, where there just hasn't really been a bunch of NFL news, all the other sports kind of throw some news at the wall, see what sticks. And then we had a bit of a political announcement yesterday. So I guess I'd ask you this weekend, were you more sports or were you more politics?
I was probably more politics. It has been I don't even know how to describe what has happened politically in the last 2.5 weeks or so.
We have almost 4 hours for you to start.
Yeah, to describe it, Daryl. I don't know how to describe it. But yeah, I mean, the Guardians, they had a tough weekend against the Padres. Stay classy, San Diego. You know, I think the debate's going to rage now leading up to the trade deadline. Should they get a bat, you know, prioritize getting a bat because pitching is so expensive right now. But yeah, I mean, I was really kind of the last 2 weekends, I was really locked into what was going on politically, I have to admit.
Yeah, I think I try to embrace the fun in a lot of this. I'm on multiple threads with friends who are politically divided. And it was just the last really 3.5 weeks. I mean, since the debate,
right?
It had been jokes, it had been mudslinging, it had been a bunch of whataboutism. Your candidate, oh, who is this candidate? What is going on with that candidate? And yesterday kind of reached that fever pitch where I was just dialed in. I was dialed in politically. I had to be, just because, just as a political science, a student of political science.
That you are.
Which was, it was my,
oh boy.
It was my first love. My first job was covering politics in news.
And wait a minute, I thought your first job was calling my show in Warren, Ohio.
That was, I didn't know so much about politics back then. But covering the state house and, you know, got a degree in political science. Like, I was always fascinated by that. Like, not necessarily policy. Like, I know it's tough to divide the two, but I'm interested in how people rise to power.
How the sausage is made.
Yeah, how they maintain power. What a circus, like this convention coming up could potentially be, or was it staved off last night? Like, that's the interesting thing to me. I mean, eventually America will get to vote, and they will get to decide, you know, who that's going to be. But it'll be only a weekend. Like, I can't do this every day from here on out, because it really would just take away the fun. Like, I can't live in that world. So I had a weekend, and you know, the Guardians lost 2 of 3.
Well, and the other thing too is there's, and I understand where you're coming from, but when you're talking about that particular realm, there are elements of it that it's not fun. It's not entertainment. It is, you're talking about livelihoods of people in this country. And I do kind of think that the media has tried to turn news information basically into infotainment. And honestly, you know, what happened in Pennsylvania, there was nothing entertaining about that.
No.
It was terrifying. There's nothing entertaining about what happened yesterday.
There was some entertainment. I disagree, Daryl. Again, my phone, the memes, the videos, there was plenty of entertainment to be had if you were out looking for it.
The AI videos that they've...
Oh, they're incredible. Yeah. I mean, they're a danger. And it doesn't seem like Mr. Elon Musk has any interest in changing that, but holy cow, the videos that they can make anybody say, and they've had the technology for a while, and they're just getting better at it. Right now, it's being used for jokes. I mean, right now, it's just humor. There's going to be a time where that's not the case. But all I'm saying is, I sat back there yesterday, and I did wonder, and I thought, like, this was truly summer hack topic series for this show, something that this show is very, very proud of.
Can I be honest with you?
Oh, go ahead.
I have never been more happy that Browns training camp starts this week. So that I'm not glued to my television I'm going to be glued to my phone. It's weird. Like, during my vacation, I tried watching a couple of series. Like, I finally sat down and watched The Acolyte. But, even now when I'm watching television, I find myself reaching for my phone all the time. Mm-hmm. I realize that's just life today, and I'm not complaining about it. But I had no job responsibilities the last 2 weeks. I was trying to unplug from the world and kind of, you know what I mean, rest up and retool mentally for the upcoming season. But yeah, even like when I'm sitting watching TV and I have the phone sitting next to me on the table, in the middle, they may have shown us, you know, young Palpatine in The Acolyte, or, you know, Darth Plagueis or whatever. And I'm like reaching for my phone to see what's going on in the world. It's just it's an interesting time that we live in.
Well, just don't start watching House of Cards. Ken already spoiled it to Jasmine Bailey.
I started watching The Boys because everyone started talking about this show, which I didn't know had been going on for a couple of years.
I don't even
now.
Know which show this is.
It's on Amazon, apparently. I got to 2 episodes, and I'm like, this might be a little much for me. And I'm into the Marvel and the DC and all that. I'm just like, yeah, this just might be a little much for me.
I'll get your suggestions throughout the course of the show. I didn't want to jump into Summer Hack Topic Series because I almost put the poll up yesterday. And it would have been, I don't know, we could have probably cleared the deck for about 2 hours. The show would have been taken care of. So we'll see how our dialogue goes before I start regretting the decision not to put that up. But, you know, it's something Ken and I have talked about a bunch. We've never really done the topic on the show, which was Browns Super Bowl or the presidential candidate you want to win. What's more important to you right now? And I make the case. I make the case because you said politically, well, it's livelihood, it's real life things, it's serious matters of taxes and abortion and all these things. And I'm like, I'll take the Browns Super Bowl. I'll take the Browns Super Bowl and have to stomach the candidate I don't want for the next 4 years. I would take that. You cringe. Kayla, I'll tell you what. I have so many memories on the LeBron James championship run and his decision to come back that I could tell you where I was. I could tell you the days of the week. I could tell you the people that I embraced. I could tell you the phone conversations. I don't know. I've had presidents that I voted for. I've certainly had the guys I voted against over the, not a bunch of memories, not a bunch of memories, no matter what. I know that people will say, oh, my job was directly impacted by that candidate. okay, can you truly draw that through line? Are you positive on that? Were you celebrating the day your tax number went down for the rest of you? Were you? Do you remember that? Or do you remember LeBron James blocking that shot on Iguodala going to the basket? I'm telling you, this is a sports talk station, and it'll sound like I'm pandering. And since Ken's not here, somebody has to. But I will tell you that I would. A Browns Super Bowl would make this city exponentially happier than having the president that you wanted to win. Because are you really that happy? The guy you voted for wins the presidency. What do? You don't just celebrate every day for the next 4 years. No, you just turn on the 24/7.
You dread media the next election.
You start thinking about the next election. You start thinking about what people are saying about your president and how much you can't stand those people. And you just start getting fights. That's all you do. But a Browns Super Bowl, that is cloud nine for as long as you want it to be.
I don't know. Based on what you just told me, you had the memory of a lifetime there on your text thread yesterday.
I did have good entertainment. There was absolutely free entertainment that was delivered to my phone. I'm just saying, if we were doing Hack Summer Topic Series, we are a sports talk station. I do wonder, but I'm not going to run that poll. I refuse. I might run that poll at some point this morning. 216 474-0092. I understand how important politics are, but I know what a Browns Super Bowl experience, I know what that'll do to all of our life. Plus, I'll make more money
That.
I'll get to write a book or something.
Somewhere on my phone, I still have
that will directly impact me.
I still have the photo of you and Ken Carmen out and counting the 1.3 million people that attended that parade.
Do you have the photo of Ken and I at the
at the
Democratic convention or Republican convention? No, exactly. You don't. Take sports.
I avoided that.
I'm on Sports Station. Checkmate. See, Daryl? Guardians dropped 2 out of 3 this weekend. Are you panicking? They're still up 5.
Getting a little nervous. Despite what Stephen Vogt said yesterday about being in a slump, they're in a little bit of a slump.
Still 5 up?
I know.
Twins have dropped 3 in a row.
Thank you card to the Milwaukee Brewers over the weekend for taking care of the Twinkies. But
you have the Royals surging. They've now won 3 in a row. They have evened things up in the division with the Twins. They're 5 games back.
Yeah, Guardians are 8-13 in the last 21. I'm not saying panic. I'm not saying they're in a slump, but they're not trending in the right direction right now. And for me, the question now becomes, because pitching is just so expensive, both financially and then on the trade market, with what it would cost you to get pitching down the stretch. I don't know. Do you just go trade for a bat and hopefully the rest of the way?
Boy,
you can
I saw some of that chatter. Yeah, I saw some of that chatter this weekend about the lineup because we had a great deal of discussion, leading into the All-Star break where they were kind of stumbling in. And we were just talking about how guys have regressed to the mean, right? I mean, it made sense. Stephen Kwan was not going to bat 400 all year. He's been sensational. Well, he's down to 346 now. Obviously, Naylor has kind of had his ups and downs. He's like a J.R. Smith. He's like a streak shooter.
Yeah.
I mean, he will
slump.
Wait a minute,
which Naylor? There's two of them now.
That's true. Well, the other one really only had one streak for the most part this season. But in Josh Naylor, I mean, he is now below 240, but he's kind of been up and down. I'm looking at this lineup. I mean, David Fry for the longest time was batting like 350 and he was an all-star. We knew that wasn't going to continue. So you're wondering these guys are going to surge in the right direction again.
It's the ebbs and flows of
a
season.
Sure. But you are seeing some of the weaknesses that I think you probably would have anticipated at times of the lineup. Fortunately, they've had power this year. They've had slugging. They've been able to. It hasn't just been piecemealing things together or managing a way to get a run across. Like they've had, especially at home, that ability. But they went up against some good pitching, which is what you would do in a playoff series.
Yeah,
and they could barely get a hit these last few games.
And that's what Vogt talked about after the game yesterday. Was that, the reality is we ran into a couple of really good starters. Well, That's what October baseball is going to be. And we have seen what I like about the way this Guardians team plays under Vogt. They play a little bit like they did under Tito. Get them on, get them over, get them in. That's the type of baseball they're going to have to play come October. You can't sit back and wait for that three-run homer, even though their power numbers this year are up.
All right, how are you feeling about this Guardians team kind of choppy, you know, of late? Daryl gave you the number, what, 8 of their last 21? They only have 8 wins in their last 21 games. They dropped 2 out of 3 after the break. We've got an absolutely loaded show for you today. Did you know that there is a new man worth over $200 million? In fact, it could even get much more than that. We will explain. Boy, the NBA, it's a nice sport to be good at. Is it not? Because we had some big news when it comes to one of the young Cavalier stars. Or should I ask, is he a star yet? He's getting paid like one. And we've got John Fanta joining the show at 8:40. Also, of course, Lima Likes at 6:40. There was a lot going on over the weekend. And we have quite a tribute. Mitch assembled something that is spectacular and very fitting for all the news that went down over the weekend. And does anybody know where Owen is? He's supposed to be trains, planes, automobiles coming back from, I don't know whether it was Fargo or Sioux Falls. Maybe this week we might be lucky to have Owen again. That's all straight ahead, but I want to talk about your level of concern right now for the Guardians and Browns kicking off this week in Berea. We'll get to that with our Browns beat reporter, Daryl, who's in for the next 3.5+ hours right here at Sports Radio 92.3 The Fan. I'm just seeing on the TV Matthew Boyd was somebody that the Guardians signed, got a rehab start in Akron. That went well. Tristan McKenzie, not so much. You know, in Columbus, Daryl Ryder in for Ken Carmen.
Listen, Lima, I know he walked 7 guys, but he kept the ball in the ballpark for the first time in, I think, his entire pitching career.
Yeah, what was the line on Tristan? He went 4 innings, 2 hits. That's the good news.
Walked 7.
He did walk 7.
I think he struck out 1.
Holy cow. But he's throwing more balls than strikes.
78 pitches, 36 strikes. Yep.
Yeah. That's hard to do. This is where he's supposed to be getting confidence.
Let's just say this. We're throwing stuff against the wall, hoping some pitching will stick. We've entered that portion of the schedule for the Guardians. They DFA'd Spencer Howard,
yeah,
who they got from the Marlins earlier this year. I think they gave up some cash. They bought him from the Marlins.
Yeah.
So now you're hoping maybe Boyd can contribute something. You're trying to cross your fingers that McKenzie can get right down in the minors. It's not looking like that's happening for McKenzie down there. A little nervous about the starting rotation. Not going to lie. A little nervous about this Guardian starting rotation right now.
Well, I think we have been for a while, right? I mean, I think this was what was unbelievable about the start they got out to.
Yeah.
To the point where it wasn't even a start anymore. They had been able to, you couldn't just say, oh, they're off to a hot start. Like, no, this was their team. They're a really good team. They're still, despite the fact they've lost 13 to 21, they are still 20 games above 500. They still have a 5-game lead in the division. And, you know, in the American League, like, you look around, obviously, like, the Houston Astros are surging.
Right.
But who's playing great baseball in the American League, you know, all the way around? The Twins had been playing really good.
They got hot.
They had gotten closer and closer and closer and really started to eat away at that lead. But I don't know. It's not like I'm petrified of anybody in the American League. So that's like the balanced approach I'm looking at right now.
Okay, maybe not petrified, but I don't think they're beating the Yankees in a 7-game series.
I mean, I can't find any Yankees fans who seem all that thrilled about their team. Mitch, go ahead.
I wouldn't know right now. I'm part-time right now, and I'm kind of been on vacation the last couple of weeks, as has the Yankees offense.
You know, I tried to forget this whole Mitch is a part. Did you just say you're a part-time Yankee fan?
I got that wrong. Nick Wilson coined a new term the other day, half-ass Yankee fan. I like that better than part-time.
It's part-time, Daryl. You know a little bit about part-time throughout your life.
I guess I kind of have to respect the cell phone there for Mitch, but Mitch, please, come on. What are you doing?
I'm just telling you right now, like,
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo. The mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Yankees, the first 2 months of the year, they had like the best lineup in baseball, and they had the best pitching in baseball. That is not the case right now.
Right.
And that's the one thing about all of this. It's going to be interesting. Obviously, you expect, you know, teams to make deals at the deadline, even though everybody's telling you that the pitching-wise, although we are going up against somebody today that you certainly hope doesn't become a threat in the American League.
I kind of feel like that Chris Antonetti and Mike Chernoff have done in the last couple of weeks, they've laid the groundwork of expectation, like telling people, we're trying to make something happen here. We recognize we need to do something, but there's knowing you need to do something and then finding a partner to be able to make that happen with. And also, too, you know, fitting within the constraints of what your organizational philosophy is when you're talking roster construction as well. So, yeah, it's easy for us to sit here and say, yeah, go trade for a starter. It's, I think, going to be a completely different conversation for them to actually go out and get what they're going to need. Because, again, the most expensive commodity in Major League Baseball has been and will always be starting pitching. And unfortunately for the Guardians organization right now, that gravy train of young arms that had been cycling through the organization and coming up to the major league level, right? I mean, Xavier Curry's been a little bumpy. Again, McKenzie, he's back in AAA trying to figure some stuff out. Tanner Bibee, I think you could argue, has been the number one for the Guardians this year. But it's running dry. You know, and that's understandable. I mean, they've had, what, a 15-year run of this where they have, you know, been growing Cy Young Award winners on trees at this point. So at some point, it's going to run dry. And I think, unfortunately, worst possible time with this team 20 games over 500 and in contention to have that pitching pipeline run dry on you.
Yeah, you did get a good outing yesterday by Lively. You got a good outing by Bibee to start out that series over the weekend. So Carrasco has settled down a little bit, right? I mean, you feel a little better. He's just like eat some innings, like just save the bullpen, which has been so outstanding this year.
And Carrasco has talked about that hey, I'm just trying to go out there and, you know, eat some innings, give these guys a chance to win, you know, because I think he understands where he is in his career, right? He's He's on the back nine. You can argue he's on the 18th green at this point. But, I mean, that's the one deficiency that I feel the Guardians have right now is their starting rotation. And for as great as this bullpen has been this year, and going into the All-Star break, everyone was talking about, you could pick a reliever out of that bully and say, hey, you're an All-Star. You should be an All-Star. They're going to be overtaxed at some point, especially when they're having, if they're going to have to be covering four, five, sometimes five-plus innings in ball games. Like, at some point, that bullpen's going to get overtaxed.
Right, you are talking about the weakness of the team, a weakness that I think most people, most Guardians fans, have acknowledged, even with the successes of the season to this point, 20 games above 500. But the whispers are growing louder when it comes to the deficiencies in the lineup and how maybe those need to be confronted. Meanwhile, Stephen Vogt, he's not all that worried right now about that, but he is acknowledging that they had some issues recently.
I mean, I think we're going fine. I mean, it's two games in a row. We faced two really good starting pitchers. We scored seven runs a couple days ago. And so for me, it's keep doing what we do. Take care of the little things. You know, we didn't take care of some little things, but I don't think we're in a funk. I think we had two very good pitchers shut us down the last 2 days.
Yeah, Cease and King with the two-hitter yesterday, and the breakthrough hit was a blooper. In that game.
Still counts, Lima.
I know. Well, you're starting to wonder, like, are we going to be on the wrong side of history here? So, everything you said about the pitching, 100% true. It's obviously, it's been the topic about what are we going to do? What are we going to get, you know, before the deadline? What about that lineup, though? How confident are you? Because they went up against two good pitchers, you know, this weekend. And they dropped two out of three, and they struggled mightily.
Well, I did chuckle that the number one pick for the Guardians was another middle infielder. I did laugh about that. I like it. Love the pick, but it is kind of funny that they picked another middle infielder because they seem to collect them like I collect bobbleheads. And they need a shortstop.
Well, you can go you can go see him coming up pretty soon in Lake County.
Yeah.
Go get one of those bobbleheads autographed.
But They need a regular everyday shortstop. They've tried to platoon that position. I think that they've gotten away with it to this point. My concern is that you get to a point where you can't get away with it anymore. I think we're coming. You know, when you look at this lineup right now, Anthony, I think they're coming dangerously close to. They're not going to be able to get away with the platoon stuff at some point. Versatility is something that Stephen Vogt loves. You know, David Fry obviously can play just about any position on the diamond. They found ways to try and keep his bat in the lineup, right? It certainly helps when you're trying to balance the defensive field time of Jose Ramirez and Josh Naylor at the corners there, right? Splitting them between first and third and DHing and things like that. Same thing with the catcher situation. Bo Naylor's a young player. You don't want to overexpose him. Offensively, defense is not even a concern. I think Bo does a great job defensively.
A defense across the board.
But I wonder at some point if the platoon thing, and I don't mean this as a criticism because what they are doing, what they have done, has been fantastic. They're in a little bit of a rut right now, but I do worry that when you get into the real pennant chase there down the stretch, you know, is that a winning formula when you're going up against these top tier arms? And I mean, you heard Vogt talk about it there in the clip. They ran into two really good arms over the weekend, and they struggled not just to scratch runs across, Anthony. They struggled getting on base, getting hits, right? And so I not criticizing the way that they're doing things, but I do have maybe some questions about whether or not the platoon thing is a winning formula come crunch time.
Well, they had found a way to get production at the bottom of the lineup, and it had been years since you had seen that.
Oh, yeah.
So it had made you feel pretty good about this lineup top to bottom. I don't think you're feeling that way today. Yeah. And I think you're having guys kind of closer to probably who they are. The Fry thing is going to be really interesting to see because, you know, they were finding a way to get him in the lineup as much as they possibly could.
Because he was hitting.
He was hitting to the point where dude was an all-star. What a great, great all-star celebration it was for him. That was amazing. But what are you expecting the second half of the year out of Fry? And if he's not hitting, now you're really trying to cobble things together in a tough way. Because, like, all right, you got Quan Ramirez and Naylor. What else? What else after that? I mean, you're like plug and play, you know, bringing guys up, hoping to find something and continuing that great offense at home and finding that power. That's been great up to this point. But what happens when Jose has an off week? Like you're starting to stare at some tough issues.
Yeah, and when I look at the way this team is built, again, it's built in a very versatile way. And when you're a club like the Guardians and some of the constraints that they have, right, some of the challenges they have, you have to build your ball club that way. But, again, I just worry if it's sustainable. And here's another part. They had five All-Stars. Guys didn't get a lot of time off, you know. The guys that carried your club first half of the season.
Should they have foregone the invitation to the All-Star? Five All-Stars, did that doom the Guardians in their second half of the season?
That's the poll you should put up.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, that'll be a fun one to put up. All right, 216-474-0092. We will get into some football coming up 25 minutes from now. A very notable Cleveland Brown. Looks like he is not going to be with the team down at Greenbrier. We'll have that age-old question, do you hold it against a player for holding out? But when we come back, no holding back. We've got Lima Likes and a familiar name and face bailing out Team USA. Oh, how did it get to that point? Against Sudan? Really? Can you name any of their players? We'll get to that. Lima Likes coming up straight ahead on Sports Radio 92.3 The Fan.
Does Lima like or does Lima no like?
Like?
Tell me likey.
I'm liking it.
I like it a lot.
No like.
He doesn't like you.
I don't like you either.
You're tacky and I hate you.
Like or no like? Like or no like?
But I definitely knew what I liked and I definitely knew what I didn't like.
All right, like I said, an amazing, amazing weekend of sports, and I pretty much watch politics all weekend. So, we will try to keep people updated, and we'll start out. Mitch, do the honors.
Lima Likes.
I have to say, having the British Open, the Open Championship, in the background all weekend long was quite the experience. Although I should say,
Lima No Likes.
There you go. We got it in there. Saturday, the conditions were so miserable that it was basically unwatchable.
But when are the conditions at the British Open optimal?
Joe, you couldn't even see the ball. You couldn't even see who was golfing on Saturday. Now, yesterday, it was pretty pristine, and that's why Xander Schauffele was able to finish with 9 under par. Do you know what they get paid? The winner of the British Open gets paid, Daryl?
At least 7 figures.
Yeah. That feels like they eclipsed that a long time ago. $3.1 million payday for Xander Schauffele, who also won the PGA Championship.
After taxes, it's only $1.5 million.
Depends who the president is, Daryl. Pretty amazing, though, right? 4 days to win $3.1 million. Like, I always laugh because I think they get paid more than any of the other tournament champions. I think that is the highest in the purse overall. Royal and Ancient, taking care of their golfers. Daryl, people worried about the sport of golf? Go ahead, Mitch.
Actually, the U.S. Open
had
the largest.
Am I about to get well actually by Mitch?
The largest prize. DeChambeau won just over $4 million this year. Yeah.
All I hear is how golf has plateaued. Nobody is into golf the way it was when Tiger Woods was here. Where are they coming up with these paydays?
Don't the LIV golfers get that for winning their tournaments now with all that Saudi money?
That's the thing. They don't even have to win. The LIV golfers just get it to show up.
I think they just get it for breathing at this point. $3 million after with each breath.
And that money's not drying up anytime soon.
Nope.
You know, it used to be I'd watch the majors just to see Tiger and Phil. Tiger, I mean, he was... he was horrendous. Did he even finish the first 2 days? Because like John Daly made it one day, and that was it for John Daly. I think John Daly just comes to your town to sell merch. He's like a touring stand-up comedian.
I think Tiger just needs to hang it up.
14 over.
So he did complete.
Yes.
The first 2 days. All right, he didn't quit. That's good to see. Not everybody can make it to the finish line these days, apparently. Moving on.
Lemon likes.
Hey, how about the Cavaliers and their Summer League team? I don't care about wins and losses in Summer League. Dale, did you watch much in the way of Summer League?
No.
You did not watch?
No.
The Cavs draft pick Jalen Tyson, whose final 2 games, 44 points, 15 and 19 from the field.
Did they win the Summer League again?
No, they did not.
Last year they won the Summer League, and they gave out championship rings for winning the Summer League.
Listen, 16 rebounds, 12 assists. Could the 20th overall pick be an absolute steal by Kobe Altman based on Summer League performance, Jalen
Tyson?
Well,
he's certainly averaging more than Bronny James did Summer League.
What do you got to take your shots? Why don't you celebrate a very nice story, Daryl? You have to come in here with your negativity, and you have to come in here with your I told you so's about what is one of the great American sports tales.
Don't call me dangerous for nothing.
Come on, Daryl. Speaking of, by the way.
Lima likes.
LeBron James. You knew he would make it. You mentioned his son. How about LeBron? Still to this point, the best guy on Team USA, apparently, needing a game-winning layup to squeak by Southern Sudan. Do we need to go over the roster of Southern Sudan?
I didn't even know they had a team.
Luol Deng. They have a team thanks to him. Former Cavalier great, Luol Deng. Do you remember the Luol Deng experience here in Cleveland, Daryl?
I do remember it, and it was a forgettable experience at the same time.
I'll tell you what was not a forgettable experience again over the weekend.
Lima likes.
The WNBA All-Star Game. Daryl, I watched some of this. I have never seen more competition in an exhibition in my life than what I saw at the WNBA All-Star Game.
The NBA could take some notes.
They could, because they were defending Caitlin Clark the minute she got onto the floor. They were bodying her up, Kelsey Plum giving her the full 90 feet man-to-man, woman-to-woman defense. Yesterday, Daryl, it was a sight to be seen. She did have 9 assists. She struggled from the field. But the storyline was that, you remember Caitlin Clark snubbed from the Olympic team?
Yeah.
Well, they beat the Olympic team. The WNBA All-Stars beat the Olympic team. Your thoughts?
Maybe the WNBA All-Star should be the Olympic team.
Now, that they'd have more eyeballs. If they put Caitlin Clark in that game, she might not be, you know, fit for that tournament right now, but there'd be more eyeballs.
Is it a hot take for me to say that I don't have as much of a problem with Caitlin Clark being left off the women's Olympic team this time around? I don't have a problem with her having to, as they like to say, earn her way onto it.
No, that's fine. You could say that. I could tell you that there were a bunch of...
Now next go around, she should be included, absolutely.
There's a bunch of TV executives who are probably not thrilled. They should put her on the call. Put her on the pregame, halftime, postgame. They have to have her be a part of this. Now, there have been some injuries, so Peacock might try to sneak her in.
All kinds of personalities on their Olympic coverage. I'm sure they could find a spot for her.
I know. I know, Daryl, you miss the days of the triple cast. And what has happened to
Lima No Likes?
Our once much ballyhooed, our once revered Major League Baseball Hall of Fame. Did you even know they had their inductions over the weekend?
I honestly didn't realize that this was induction weekend.
Can you name one of the... 2 second trivia, Daryl. Can you name one of the individuals that was inducted into the Hall of Fame in Cooperstown?
Give me 3 seconds to Google it and I can tell you.
Mitch?
Adrian Beltre.
Are you looking down? You're looking down. Look at me.
I have my notes. Adrian Beltre, Joe Mauer, Todd Helton, Jim Leland.
Is Jim Leland despised here by Guardians fans? Or do they not really care?
I don't think they care.
Really?
Yeah. I don't think they care.
Craig
Council, different story.
Okay, well, that's what I was going to ask, just for the sake of the rivalry. I remember I caught up with, when we had the All-Star festivities here, I did a one-on-one with Leland, and he kind of sauntered in during this interview, like, he's like, I know I'm hated here. And I'm like, I don't know. We do pick and choose.
I think Jose Mesa's hated more than Jim Leland is.
You know what? That's probably true. That's probably true. That's sad, though. Is it not?
It's very sad. But, I mean, I think that's the reality. No, I don't think that Guardians fans have a big axe to grind.
But see, I was going to ask you, like, Dan Reeves or Ernest Biner. But Ernest Biner has made amends, right?
Yeah, I mean,
with people here in Cleveland.
Hey, Jim Leland used to manage the Pittsburgh Pirates in the Killer Bee days of Bonds and Bonilla.
Still smoking cigarettes in the clubhouse, right there in the dugout.
Hey, look, I'm old enough to remember walking into a manager's office where they're burning half a pack and they got a 12-pack on the desk and they're six in before they even begin their post-game press conference.
Yo, real quick,
Lima Likes.
I'll just throw this in here. The voice of the individual responsible for Lima Likes, that production put together years ago, Josh Potter, former employee at 92.3 The Fan, he is now a paid regular at the Comedy Store. Happened this weekend.
Good
that
for
was
him.
Cool. I sent him a nice text. He didn't big time me. He's big time me before. He did not big time me now. So congratulations. Very
congratulations,
funny man, Josh Potter. I was on his podcast before the debut. He's not asked me back. He has like real comedians on. That's it for Lima Likes. When we come back. All right. Daryl is here. It's perfect that Daryl Ryder is in for Kent Carmen because it is a big football week. But somebody who could be absent during that big football week, we'll talk about that and whether fans still hold it against a player for holding out. It's all straight ahead here on Sports Radio, 92.3 The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.